Hello, and welcome to this episode of How Are You Holding Up? A mental health podcast by the depressed, for the depressed. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Chris.
And the first question I want to ask is, Chris, how are you holding up?
So it's been a little rough. Week. Dog that I'm trying to adopt does not like me, apparently.
Why do you
well,
say that?
I mean it's not true. She's a shy, timid little thing. She's half corgi, half dachshund, and has abandonment issues. Fun times, because I can relate wholeheartedly. But she's apparently way more scared of dudes than she is ladies, so I'm having to overcome that. Mm. But that's okay. It's just gotta have patience, that's all. Just be patient, and everything will work out fine. How are you holding up?
I feel exhausted and drained. Looking at what's going on in the world right now, looking at what's happening in the States right now, it just feels like I can't do anything to help. I just feel super low about it. And I don't even want to look at the news anymore. Not that I ever liked looking at the news. I don't want to go on Facebook because everyone's posting about something horrible. Mm-hmm. And in Nicaragua, horrible things are happening. People are dying. Protests are mm-hmm. happening. No one's even talking about it here. Mm-hmm. As we all know, there is some border patrol stuff happening yep. in the States. Seriously conflicting views on that.
Yeah, there's also all the stuff going on in the European Union right now regarding censorship.
Exactly.
Which is super fun.
Scary times.
It's not a good time for our very progressive, forward-thinking, boy, I sure wish this world was in Star Trek The Next Generation by now kind of life.
Exactly. So I'm feeling kind of... And I know I've talked to several people right now. It's just like everyone is just feeling like they can't help. They're feeling depressed. It's rough.
Yep.
But you know what helps me?
What helps you?
My dog Mojo.
See what we did there?
So this episode is on animals and how they help, and also a little bit about ESA animals, mm-hmm. emotional support.
Yes, absolutely. Which part of the reason why I've been attempting to get a dog is as a sort of emotional support animal. By the way, we are neither of us experts, let alone doctors or any sort of trained personnel of a medical health or mental health or animal-based nature, I guess.
Yeah, we are not professionals in this, so we just wanted to have that as a disclaimer. We are just here to talk about something we are passionate about.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you decide that you wanted that in your life?
So, this is actually kind of a funny thing. I have had animals my entire life. Mm-hmm. They have always been a part of my life, whether it was through my choice or not. And they've always been varied of some sort. I've had dogs, I've had rabbits, I've had snakes, I've had lizards, I've had fish, I've had frogs, you name it, I've practically had them all. Except for cats, because I'm allergic to cats. But when I was working in Baltimore back in April at my real life job that I can't talk about, and while I was there, it was really, really exhausting and stressful. For the most part, in a good way. But at one point, I had been so isolated and so away from everyone I knew and everything I loved. And I just wanted to pet a dog. Like, that was the solid feeling that I had. I was like, I just want to pet a dog right now. And I'd never felt that in my entire life. I just want to pet a dog right now. What the hell? And so I finally got to pet a dog. I went to visit my mom in New Jersey, and she had her dogs, and I just pet a dog for like a half hour, and I felt so much better. It was ridiculous. I was sitting there petting the dog, just going, this is what, why am I feeling so much better?
So the first time I experienced it was in college, because I'd grown up with dogs always, or some form of pet. Mm-hmm. And I think it was always one of those things where you go to someone's house, and if they don't have a dog or a cat, you're like, what? This isn't really a home then. So in college, I went through some really, really dark ages, and I would go to dog parks. And I would sit there and I'd watch the doggies play and I'd pet them when they came over. And I remember this person coming over to me and being like, so which one's yours? And I said, none of them. And she looked at me as though I had said, none of these children are mine. I'm just watching them frolic and letting them come up to me and giving them candy. You know, it was like, I felt so ridiculous. You know, looking back on it, I think some of my darkest depressions were when I did not have my dog or a dog with me.
That's very telling also of like just being raised with animals. It does kind of say that there is just this connection, this unflappable connection between people and animals. And I get it. There are people who just don't want animals. I was very much that kind of person for a very long time. The only pet that I had was a Roomba. Like, I legit considered a robot vacuum my pet. Because I was like, you know what? I don't have to clean up after him. If I do have to feed him. I mean, I sort of have to clean up after him because he gets full. And then it's basically just a big old vacuum poop. And, you know. But, like, it was... I just didn't want to have to deal with having an animal that I had to take care of. I could barely take care of myself. Why do I have to have something else I'm responsible for?
But I think that's actually one of the reasons why it's so important when you are depressed to have someone or something that does rely on you. And I know some people might argue with me in that way, but truly, waking up, there were days that I probably wouldn't have done much if it weren't because I had a dog. If it weren't for having a dog, I rest
about that. Yeah, absolutely. That's where I'm at now, is just that factor of, well, I can't tell myself that there's no reason to get up now. I have a dog.
Right.
And that dog needs me to take it outside to poop, or maybe it needs to eat, because, you know, it's a living being.
Well, I think those are some good things. It gets you out of the house. You have to go to the grocery store to get its stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to go on walks.
Yep.
Or at least go in the backyard and play with them.
Yeah.
You have that cuddle companion. Mm-hmm. You have a reason to get up in the morning.
That's absolutely true. So, I know we want to talk about, like, animals as therapy, but what specifically, like, I know nothing about actual therapy animals.
Okay.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, so, like, tell me more about, like, especially emotional support animals. Like, I'm so fascinated by this being a thing.
So, ESA animals, I think, basically is any animal that can give you what they consider emotional support. Some people have rabbits, cats, dogs are the most common. Mm-hmm. I've heard of some random ones like an emu, penguin, pigs. I've heard of pig emotional support animals.
I heard of a miniature pony.
Oh, that's sweet.
That was the most funny. I used to work at a hotel, and that was actually one of the
service
animals that we were told about. I was like, you have a service dog, you have a service cat, you have a service miniature pony. And I was like, why'd you go straight to that?
Yeah.
What?
Did you actually ask them?
No, because it was like a training program where they were here are ways to deal with service animals. Sure. I was like, a pony.
So what you do for that, I know that this isn't, it's not the same, an emotional support animal is not the same as a service dog.
Right.
It's not going to go through the rigorous training from infancy, basically. It's not picked out of specific group of puppies that they're, you know, tested. And emotional support animal, you could have a dog right now, and it could be an emotional support animal. What you do is you go to a psychiatrist, or a doctor, I think, now too, and you tell them, hey, I have horrific anxiety or depression, and this animal really helps me, and I want to be able to bring it with me when I, you know, go on this trip, because I will have a panic attack,
basically,
you know. And the problem arises when people want to just, I want my dog to fly for free, I'm going to get it registered as an emotional support animal.
Yes.
And people do that, and I know that I've actually spoken to some airline stewardesses and stewards.
Flight attendants!
I have spoken to some flight attendants who were... They didn't believe in it. They just felt like they were trying to fly their pet for free. You know, just get over it or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
But the reality is, I think it's important to recognize that emotional support animal is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And well, once you get that, you get a letter from your doctor or psychiatrist. And then you're basically, it's your emotional support animal. From there, you can go onto Amazon and you can buy the emotional support vest and the little collar. And a lot of hotels and apartments will recognize that pet as a service animal. Mm-hmm. Some won't.
Yes.
Because they're not trained.
Right. Correct. And the thing is about, like, specifically service animals, at a hotel at least, we're not legally allowed to ask what service the animal provides. It is strictly, is it a support animal? Yes. Okay. There you go. You can't ask to see credentials. You can't ask to, you know, anything like that, because that is...
Privacy violation.
Privacy violation. That's right. You don't even have to carry a card.
Interesting.
Nothing. All you need to do is just claim it, which is why a lot of people have such a problem with the freedom, the general freedom that is given to emotional support animals. Like taking them into a restaurant. But this falls under a category of just people who are, how do I put this? Shitty. Shitty people will take advantage of this because they have an untrained, uncontrollable animal that they are claiming to be an emotional support animal. When real, actual support animals, they're good.
Service animals.
Service animals. Well, I mean, even I've known emotional support animals from friends of mine who've had them. They're very well behaved. They know how to behave in public. They can be taken to a restaurant and not cause chaos.
I think that depends on the personal training, though. For example, I do know somebody who has an emotional support dog, and he's out of control.
And that's not good.
He urinates inside the house. He doesn't, you know. She travels a lot, so she wants people to... And she does have anxiety, and she does have depression.
Sure.
But just because you have anxiety and depression... Should you be allowed to register any dog as an emotional support animal? That's a question I'm curious about, because I have a dog who is pretty well behaved. He doesn't go inside. He, you know, but he will bark his head off at another dog or at a child who runs by. And I don't know if I would take him to a hotel or fly with him and be comfortable saying this is my emotional support dog, unless I took him to classes and got him trained.
In all actuality, I would take them to classes. Yeah. I would get them trained.
I think that's...
Because it would give me so much more anxiety.
Exactly. It would give me so much... Thinking about it makes my chest tight, because I don't want to think about the horrible conversations I would have with someone being like, is that really an emotional support? Because he's not very well trained. Or could you please... Like, you're in a restaurant. Could you please keep your dog down? Or getting a call at a hotel and be like, your dog is being loud.
Your dog is being loud. Your dog
ripped... Excuse me, ma'am.
Your dog ripped the shit out of our carpet.
Yeah.
No, I get it. It's such a weird place to be.
It's a gray area.
It's a very gray area. Because, like you said, service animals in general, when they're actually service animals that have been trained very rigorously, like they get their credentials and whatnot, you know, they're so varied. Like, there's, of course, seeing eye dogs and things like that. But then there's, like, those dogs that can detect heart attacks or they know when somebody's going to have a seizure. Mm-hmm. And you're like... How the hell does this dog know this? But there's dogs that are just emotionally aware just as much.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There are. I mean, my dog will, when I go into a depression, he will stay on my bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll whine at me until I play with him. in some ways, I mean, if I start crying or whatever... I don't know if he knows that I'm that much sad. You know, he'll come over and he'll sniff my face and he checks on me. But I think when you're in that state and you just feel like garbage and some furry sweet thing that loves you to bits and loves you absolutely unconditionally comes over. It's like, man, at least I've got this little ray of light in my life.
That was one of the things that I had thought about a lot also, was that unconditional love.
Yeah.
There is not a single human being on this planet that will experience unconditional love from another human being. Yeah. There's always a condition at some way, shape, or form until, unless, you know, maybe there's some brainwashing going on. I don't know. So the idea of having something that looks at you and knows that you are perfect just the way you are. Every dog is a little tiny Mr. Rogers, and it's amazing to think about them that way.
That's really sweet.
Like, if it is your dog and you connect to that dog on a special level, like the dog I'm trying to adopt, we have not connected in that way yet. I understand that. That dog has been through hell.
And it does take time.
And it takes time. Absolutely. There's, it may be discouraging to have to understand that, which it can be. It can definitely be a little discouraging.
And maybe she's not the right fit for you.
Or maybe she's not the right fit for me. You never know. Maybe that's a thing that I just will need to face at some point in the future.
And we'll make a podcast about that.
And we'll make a podcast where I'm sobbing into a microphone. Oh. My dog just loved me.
That unconditional love is conditional.
Oh, God, I fucked up. Yeah, no, that's going to be a great episode. Stay tuned for that one, guys.
Chris's breakdown.
Oh, God.
But yeah, in general, I think therapy dog. Well, I've seen the rigmarole that actual service dogs go through.
Yes. Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, it's for, there's a specific, it's, I'm sure it's different for each one. This one specifically was for blind. And I watched this family, they basically take on this puppy, very, very young, mm-hmm. who has been kind of tested out of the pack. I'm like, oh, this is a good one, intelligence. And then they train it they take it everywhere with them.
Right.
And they still cannot pass. And it didn't, actually. That dog didn't pass. So then they got to keep it.
Wow.
So then they have this highly trained, but for no reason, either she barks too much or she just won't listen to every single command. I mean, it has to be a perfectly. Because yeah. If you think about it, if, you know, you can't make, there's no room for mistakes.
No, there isn't.
And we're not going to make any blind jokes now because we're not those kind of people.
Yeah, we're not those ableist fucks. Anyway. Oh.
Shit.
But like, no, it's incredible the amount of training that they go through. And like, there are so many programs. Like specifically, I remember this program that was getting prisoners to train animals.
I just think I saw that.
Yeah, it was a documentary. I think it was on Vice. Yeah. It'll probably be in the show notes. It was a program that was trying to get basically what were considered hardcore prisoners and hardcore unadoptable dogs in the same room facing the same problems with the same goal, and they were put in that room to just make each other better. And it was a screaming success. It is now being implemented in prisons all over the country.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
It's really great. Like, there is one in particular, I remember there was a guy who was in prison. I don't remember what for. I think it was an assault or something like that. Not a sexual one, just a physical assault. And he trained this dog. And the dog, by the end of the thing, was just like, they were both so attached to each other. But he made so much progress that he was basically, like, paroled early. He went to work for the city he lived in, I think it was in near Philly, in their animal rescue.
That's fantastic.
For the police department. Like,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, he worked as an animal control agent.
I was watching this awesome little short documentary on this mafia man. He had been a hitman.
Ooh.
He had been arrested on multiple charges. They could never quite get him, yeah. You know. And one day, he said he saw this dog who had been beaten to bits, had been put up for adoption,
mm-hmm.
and it still loved humans. And he thought, if that dog can still love us and still have the second chance at a life and a home, then I can do that too. And now he runs his own dog and animal rescue for animals who will not be ever adopted. They're either too old,
yeah,
they're seniors, you know, there's something really wrong with them, they're very sickly, or they're just extremely aggressive.
Mm.
And that is his full-time job.
Amazing.
And I mean, it just, animals can change your life. Mm-hmm. And I think as a person with depression, I think the takeaway here is just that feeling of love and connection with something else.
Yeah.
That's unconditional.
And it doesn't even have to just be dogs.
Nope.
I mean, I really do feel that for some people, especially poor people who are like allergic to all animals with fur.
Yeah.
I'm half of that. thankfully, it's just cats. But it just finding a small creature or a large creature, anything.
That connection.
It's that connection. It's all about that connection. It's incredible. It's life-affirming, almost, that we don't have to just be bound by our own, like, headspace.
Right.
We can actually, like, have another creature that's just like, I don't care what you're going through, but I love you.
And not only the love thing, but I think the responsibility of a life. Because, look, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how depressed you are. You're going to need to go out and you're going to need to mm-hmm. get that dog fed or that cat fed or that rabbit fed or, you know, whatever animal. You need to take care. And it for me, in some of my darker moments, it is just, it's like a little jolt of, okay, I'm just going to get out of my headspace here for a minute. I'm just going to get out of this feeling. And I don't necessarily feel less depressed, but I do something. And that will help.
Absolutely.
So I'm fascinated by the relationship between humans and their pets. And one of the documentaries I watched was how dogs have shaped us and our civilization as well as we have shaped them. Now, obviously, we all know originally they were wolves. We shaped them pretty mm-hmm. obviously with their physical shapes and so forth.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But if we think about it, dogs also shaped our society. Without them, we wouldn't have the society that we have now. They were herders. They would take care of our livestock.
Mm-hmm.
They would rat out the pests that we had. We wouldn't have been able to have the safety with our tribes way back, you know.
Of course,
and
yeah.
So what ended up happening was there's this sort of symbiosis, I guess, that started happening, a symbiotic relationship. And dogs chemically react to humans in a way that really no other animal does.
That's interesting.
They pick up on our verbalization and our facial cues because they watch us and they try to figure out, and they can understand to a certain degree what we are communicating. That's what they were raised for thousands of years.
That is actually very, very interesting, because I remember very distinctly one of the things that when I was a kid, I hated about dogs was barking. Like, I was a hypersensitive kid to barking, and barking would drive me nuts. And I remember learning that people who would yell at their dogs to stop barking, that only encourages them to keep barking, because it's a similar cue of just like,
they're loud, I'm loud,
they're loud, we're
warning,
both loud.
Warning.
Oh my god! And then they just go fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that just, it feels so right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And in training, one of the things, if you ever need to train your dog to stop doing something, is you turn away from them.
Mm-hmm.
If that dog is, you know, digging or is yipping at you to play with you and you're like, no, they're not listening, they keep trying, you stand up and you turn your back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll try to go around, they'll try to get in front of you and look at you, try to make the eye contact, and then try to get your... And you just keep doing that. They pick up on your signals.
Wow.
And those are... You should really take a... You take away that attention and that energy, and it just changes the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also that's why some dogs are better as lap dogs. And just because it's a small dog, it doesn't mean it's a lap dog.
No.
That's where I think a lot of people make a mistake. I have a Schnauzer mix. And I have realized recently, I think one of the reasons he has poor behavior is because he's just not mentally stimulated enough.
That makes sense.
Because I would hike him every day, and then he'd want to play with the ball, and then we go to the dog park, and he just wasn't tired at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I started realizing one of the reasons is because he needs to be using his brain more than his body, actually.
Oh my God.
So yeah. So anyway, with an ESA pet, that's an interesting to think about that, to think about the fact that they are picking up on what you're going through. And mm-hmm. Chris and I were watching this video about a therapy dog that goes mm-hmm. to the hospital. And
he very specifically is there to make patients feel better. It's a video. If you want to look it up, it's in the show notes, A Day in the Life of Frasier, a Pet Therapy Dog. It's just this very chill lab mix. It looks to me he's just there to help people who are sick or dying and are feeling scared or alone or frustrated. He's just there to just be there. And he's so chill and so relaxed. And you can see just like, there's a segment where this kid is really scared of the doctor, and the dog is brought in, and the doctor shows on the dog like, hey, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm using the stethoscope. It's not scary. And I'm using this to check the dog's ears. You can check the dog's ears too. And it's very sweet and endearing. And I've read, you know, multiple times in the past where there were animals that just were permanent residents at hospitals and were just there to, like, be there for people while they were in such dire straits. And then, of course, there's that whole thing with the cat that was basically a weird symbol of death, I guess.
Yeah, he knew when they were going to pass.
Yeah.
He'd go visit.
And he would go visit, and he'd stay with them. And it was just like, wow, there's more to these animals than we're giving credit for.
I have endometriosis, which is a really painful condition mm-hmm. where a lot of women have. And so when my time of the month would come around, I would be in such bad pain. Sometimes I would black out. Mm-hmm. There really isn't a painkiller that you can get over the counter that can help.
No.
But I had a cat who would come over, and he would lay right on my stomach, right in that area, and the heat and his purring would actually make it feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. He would never lay on me in that position.
Any other time.
He'd lay on my chest or like on my face, but he wouldn't lay down there. Yeah, so just like going back to the thought of, I know some people like to discredit or poo-poo the idea of animals having this connection with us. And I think most of us know that's just not the case. And if you go online anywhere, mm-hmm. one of the best videos or the most watched videos are the ones with animals.
Yeah.
Memes are almost always animals.
And memes are almost always animals. It's incredible. But really, like, if you don't have a dog, get a dog. Go out there, adopt a dog, man.
Be a creeper, be a Lindsay, and go to the dog park.
Go to the dog park, wear a trench coat, wear a hat.
And bring doggy treats and put them in your pocket.
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. And when people ask you what you're doing there, that's when you just get up and run away.
But really, I think it comes down to just needing to be needed, needing to be loved. And that's something that Mr. Rogers also talks about is we need to all have that as humans. And when you're depressed and you're talking badly to yourself and you got a little animal looking up at you, it can make all the difference.
It can make those voices shut up because all you can hear is doggy.
Yeah. You know what else helps with that? Picking up a disgusting poop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really brings you back to brings basics.
You back to reality. You're just there to be a dog shit picker-upper. Yeah, that's who you are. Thank you for listening to this episode of How Are You Holding Up? As always, we want to leave you with something positive for the week.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to recommend this week is a little subreddit. I don't know if you go on the Reddits. I do. And there is a subreddit called Wholesome Memes. And all Wholesome Memes is just a subreddit dedicated to gasp wholesome memes. So take your meme format, don't make it all negative, make it about the positive things in life.
Yay.
Like the guy who spent $1 million buying a bunch of Toys R Us toys and immediately donating them.
There is good in the world.
There is amazing good in the world. And as always,
don't tell us to just get over it.